When did you realize that you were addicted and that this was an issue?
Oh, that's a good question.
Welcome back to Chat in the Dark. On this week's episode, we bring back Princess to continue our conversations last week we had about Pet. But we also have Pet on call too. Welcome, Pet. To Chat in the Dark.
Is it really dark though?
I mean, it's dark outside.
It is.
What is the time for you?
It is like almost 10. Yeah.
Oh, it's like nighttime.
Yeah.
So if anyone listened to last week's episode, we had talked about Pet, who is our friend group's resident horny dude.
Hey, that's too much.
Horny dude?
He's not even horny, he's just kinky. Okay. It's not even like that. It's just he's more vocal about it than other people.
He's more informed.
And that.
He's more informed about
like
it.
he's who we go to when people have questions.
Yeah. 100%.
It's what we call confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. It do be like that. When did you first discover some of your kinks though?
You know that?
Or was
it something you like stumbled into?
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, most of the things, a lot of trial and error. Mm. That is very, you know, important. But you know, there's this, as much as, you know, I didn't want to do this, but like there's this thing that was going around on TikTok, right? You know, I turned all of my trauma into kinks. Listen, that's for real. Like that's you know.
You made Princess choke in her apple juice.
You never know it's a kink until, you know, you mess
you
around and find
it.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, if that's not true, I don't know what is. Holy.
Wait, what's your experience with it, Princess?
Yeah.
Daddy issues all the way.
We love that. We love that.
I think
it's basic, but you know.
In this call, at least.
Yeah.
100%. Different levels of it, but
hell yeah.
Okay. So you said you'd have to experience it. Not the trauma part. I'm talking about the sexual part.
Right. Okay.
What was your... Do you remember your first experience?
I need to specify. Do you mean first sexual experience or first, like, kink experience?
Kink.
That's hard to pinpoint. I've been around the block a few times, you know? So, like, trying to think back to that... No, I really do think that my first actual kink experience was like what vanilla people consider kinky, you know, like handcuffs and blindfolds, like, you know, basic things, you know, stuff that's not that once you get into the actual kink community and you say, I'm kinky, I could do this. They just kind of chuckle, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I'm on the vanilla side of that, but yeah.
Yeah, where?
Thanks.
Okay, we still love it.
Just put your own blast on your own podcast. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
We do it with love.
Do you?
Always with love.
Always with love. Do you have anything you want to talk about in general about it? Or do you...
I mean, actually, yes, I do. Okay. No, listen, there is something that does need to be kind of outright defined, you know, when referring to, you know, the concept of kink community and what we like to call, you know, sexploration. as funny as it sounds, it's true. But, you know, there's the main concept of you have to realize that there is a difference between practicing and acting out kinks and scenes and abuse. And, you know, that's a very thick line. It's not thin. It's not hard to cross. But, you know, people from the outside don't understand the difference. You know, the main thing is consent. Consent and communication are the key, as, you know, pretty much to everything, any relationship in general, be it romantic or platonic. You know, communication is, and consent is always the key. But, you know, there are some people that put up the front, like, you know, say that they're into these things, but the way that they offset it, their main goal is to, you know, justify their abuse of another person. And we don't like that. That's not okay.
Yeah, that doesn't sound okay.
No, but that's
kind of scary. I've always been an advocate for, like, consent and communication.
Yes.
Like, in everything that you've done.
Yes.
Well, that I know of.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
It's because it's a key, it's not even just a key point in relationships, you know, it's a key point in life. Like, in general, like, this is kind of getting off on a tangent, but, like, you know, if you're...
That's what we love.
At school, yeah. If you're at work, you know, the whole concept of, you know, trying to get anything done is communication. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be tripping up over someone else or, you know, whatever. But especially in, you know, a place such as, you know, a bedroom or other places, if that be your thing. Like, we definitely don't keep shame here, I promise. But, you know, it's just, it's very important because you're at a very vulnerable state. You know, you're putting all of your energy and trust into this other person or persons. And it's just very important that there is open communication in regards to, you know, what is allowed, what is not. You know, you need to have a very, very detailed plan of limits. And, you know, this is something that you can't just walk into randomly. Like, you know, scenes need to be kind of detailed out beforehand. You know, it's just... It's all about precaution because, you know, the last thing you want to do is in the middle of a scene, you know, get someone hit with a new experience and trauma. Because that's not what we're here for.
Have you, like, ever had an experience like that? Like, just walk into a scene and it just go totally wrong because you haven't had any preparation whatsoever?
Once. No offense to those out there, because I am one of them, but it was with a male. It was, oof. Yeah, it was just, it was.
That size says a lot.
It wasn't supposed to be a scene. And then, you know, just things kind of got put into a position where, you know, there was, you know, general exchange of power and stuff like that. You know, things started off all right, but then, you know, there was a little, I don't want to say miscommunication, because there was, like, no communication. I mean, eventually it did get resolved, but at first, you know, it was very, very rocky, very uncomfortable. Not just for me, it was uncomfortable for the other person too, because once they realized that, you know, everything was kind of offset and not really going the way that, you know, either of us thought it was going, you know, we tried to make up for it without killing the mood. But the fact of the matter is there's nothing wrong with killing the mood if you're not comfortable. That was probably the instant that I learned that.
It was, because
a lot of things is, you know, a lot of kinky people, at least, actually, I'm just going to keep this on me as a kinkster, you know, I have a very broken past, you know, trauma is very evident in my life. And, you know, there are a lot of things that, you know, I do in my main goal. Like, you know, I like to make sure the other person is enjoying themselves and all that. So quite frankly, you know, sometimes when they're enjoying themselves and I'm not necessarily doing so, I have this, you know, desire to keep going to let them continue to enjoy themselves. But, you know, that's a toxic behavior in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, that was something I had to learn. That was something that I had to learn. But the fact is, you know, this can happen even with communication, you know, because some people may get the feeling of, well, if this doesn't go right, then I'm going to disappoint them and stuff. So, like, you know, there are multiple reasons and different levels as to why communication is important. And, you know, knowing your partner is definitely a thing that definitely needs to be known going in as well. But in reality, you know, that's the thing is, you know, people just see it at face level and, you know, they think, oh, you know, it's just sex. Fact of the matter is if you start to get into some of the different subsections of the concept of what kinks are in the BDSM community, you know, you start to get into a lot of things that are more lifestyles than they are, you know, just bedroom scenes. And it's very important that you reflect the personalities in those. So it can get really complicated, you know, and it's education is definitely important. You know, if you're not properly educated, you probably shouldn't be, you know, meddling in something that you don't know about, especially if you're with someone else who also does not know much about what they're doing.
That makes sense.
That inexperience.
And you know, it's fine not to have experience. It's just fact of the matter is that you want to do your research first, because you don't, like I said before, you know, you don't want to end up giving someone some trauma. And like aftercare is important, not just for subs. Doms need aftercare too.
100%.
Okay, as someone who has no idea, what would that include potentially? I know it's different for everyone, but
aftercare for a dom?
Yeah.
Generally, you know, like, it depends on the scene, because, you know, like, there are a lot of different subsections to the BDSM lifestyle. But generally speaking, you know, assuming that it's a generic, you know, dom, a generic idea of a dom sub relationship, you know, the sub would need, you know, the aftercare of, like, you know, the cuddles and the water and the food and, you know, the reassurance. Well, fact of the matter is for a dom, you know, there's a lot of power associated with the dom sub scene. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, you know, speaking from my experience, I've had two different things happen. One, I got sent into, you know, after the scene calmed down, I was in a hyper masculine sense. So like things, you know, it was really hard for me to come down from that high, basically. So, you know, I just needed kind of, aftercare is pretty much the same thing. Like, you know, like if that's the thing, you know, we just need help calming down, you know. And then there are sometimes when after a scene, like, I would, you know, even get depressed sometimes, because, you know, it kind of, a little bit of guilt would hit me, depending on what happens. So, you know, it happens, you know, and that's when the dom might need, you know, some reassurance and stuff like that. But no, aftercare for all parties is definitely necessary. And we don't like when people don't do aftercare.
I have heard that quite a few times, because I somehow end up on Kink Talk every once in a while.
Yes.
I stay on Kink Talk. It's not even on purpose. I just interact with way too much. I stay on Kink Talk, Witch Talk, and what's that other one? I can't remember. I don't know. You know, it'll come.
It'll pop up halfway through a different conversation and be like, that's what it is.
It will.
Do you want to talk about your witchy side?
Oh, bro, listen, we love witches. Okay.
Okay. I'm just asking because you brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So again, something else I have zero experience in. Is this something that, like, that got passed down through family, or is this something that you learned yourself?
I am a second generation witch.
Ooh.
My mom was taught by her aunt or great aunt. I'm not sure. It does. Specifically, you know, we are at least my mother and I identify as Wiccans who practice witchcraft. Not all Wiccans are witches, and not all witches are Wiccan.
What's the difference?
So Wiccan is a religion.
Okay.
Quite frankly, we follow the Wiccan Reed, which is very short. You know, most religions, you know, such as Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, you know, they have the Quran, the Torah, and the Bible. We just have the Reed. And basically, it can all be summed down into the very last line of the Reed, which is, "If ye harm no one, do what you will."
Huh.
Pretty much, you know, don't harm anybody else, and then what you want aside from that. Now, being a witch, you know, witchcraft is something that has been practiced in multiple different cultures for, you know, thousands of years. So you can meet, even with, you know, Wiccans in general, you know, you could have three Wiccans and three witches. None of the Wiccans can practice witchcraft, but all those Wiccans will practice Wicca completely different than the others. And all three of the witches will practice, you know, their witchcraft completely different. You know, it's a big freedom of choice, you know, depending on how you choose to practice.
That's cool.
Those type of things are always interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with somebody who knows what they're talking about, rather than just reading it or searching up.
Or like the random ones that just learn things from the internet, and then that's their whole personality.
Yeah. Oh, the baby witches of TikTok. Which, no offense to them, because, you know, they're starting their journey. The only thing that I can really suggest, you know, is to get into books, you know.
Yeah.
Princess happened to say, you know, reading about it. But fact of the matter is if you're choosing, you know, the right people to read about, and, you know, reading the works of the right people, you know, you can actually find good information. Like, I personally suggest any works of people who wrote before, say, I don't know, 1995. Because, you know, mostly you'll find workings of people from the early 1900s to the mid to late 1800s. Those are the ones you want to get. Because, you know, at some point there was a little bit of a break, and, you know, we think it in the spiritual community, we think it might've started somewhere with technology that, you know, further separated us from, the energies of the universe that helped propel magic so much in the past.
This does make sense. Surprise
me.
Yep. Not at all.
Surprise me.
Okay. What kind of witchcraft do you practice? Because I know you said that there were like types.
I try to keep my focus in herbalism and different types of divination. So herbalism, you know, as of right now, I can't grow anything, but I've been, you know, keeping up practice. I have, you know, a few journals that I've been kind of writing some things down, because I am going to start, you know, a little garden once I get the chance. But, you know, herbalism is more of a concept of, you know, alternative medicine. So finding, you know, general herbs and maybe even, you know, spices, stuff like that. Like right now, I keep sage, rosemary, allspice, lavender flowers, and mugwort and wormwood on the ready at my house in case, you know, I need maybe like an emotional healing potion, or, you know, just something small, something simple. Just stuff that I can, you know, buy at a couple. We have a few different new age shops that I can buy those ingredients at, but. It's just basically trying to, you know, keep record of what different herbs and plants do, what they can help you with, either be it physical symptoms or spiritual or mental symptoms. Now, as far as the divination goes, you know, like most witches, I can read tarot and I read runes. I've recently been reading a lot into, you know, pyromancy, which is, you know, divination by way of fire, which divination
Why am I not surprised by that?
Nope. It's very on brand.
Not one bit.
Wait, it gets better. There's another branch of divination I've been practicing that we'll talk about later.
Okay.
But no, divination is literally just, you know, speaking with either the universe or spirits or deities, whatever you physically believe in. Me personally, depends on what I'm doing. If I'm using pyromancy, then I'm tapping into the universe, you know, trying to get answers to questions, or, you know, basically just kind of see what I can see. Cause right now I don't know too much about the pyromancy. It's eluding me a little bit cause I can't set many fires right now. Now the other thing that I've been digging into quite a bit, reads more into, you know, my runes as well as a couple other things. I've been getting into necromancy. Now here's the big thing. Yeah, listen, here's the big thing. So the media has given a very terrible name to necromancy.
Okay.
So when you think, I'm assuming, like, you know, in your reaction, when I said necromancy, you thought like raising the dead and yes. like Frankenstein's monster and all that. That is not what necromancy is.
Okay.
Necromancy is literally defined as divination by talking to the dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, this makes sense to you.
Yeah, so, you know, in general, you're talking like stuff like Ouija boards, because, mm-hmm. like, you know, they are horribly misused as drunken party games, which is very dangerous. As you've seen time and time again in the media, that's not, you know, all jokes. Like, you know, it's not smart to pull out a Ouija board while you're just drunk. That's not smart. I cannot advise that. But, you know, that's a very common tool that's used in necromancy, you know, as well as there are other types. I've been recently practicing with, I can't remember what it's called, and that makes me feel really bad. But basically, you meditate, and you have a pen and paper in front of you, and you literally allow whatever spirit or whatever around you, you know, you ask it questions, and you allow it to write the answers through you.
There's like a celebrity person that did that. He would like speak to like the spirits around people and like tell them things from their dead.
Yeah, yeah. It was on like the E Channel or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they had them on like BuzzFeed at some point.
Yeah, and you know, like that's a very it's honestly a very very popular form of necromancy, you know. Any kind of mediumship is necromancy. Like if you go to, first off, I know you guys have heard me say this before, but I will say this openly here. I have shared this openly on various subreddits. I don't believe that people with extrasensory perception abilities, such as, you know, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, yada, yada, whatever, or people who can read tarot cards with proper connection to the universe should charge for their services.
100%.
Yeah.
100%, like, the amount of people that do that, normally when I've talked to people around that sort of thing, they're just like, no, why would you charge that?
That's the thing.
Because it's supposed to be like a gift, right?
It is, and that's the thing. You know, it is based on a belief system, and I'm not saying that, you know, everyone that charges for it is a fraud. I'm just saying that a lot of them probably are, because most of the people that I've met that I can guarantee have these abilities do not charge for their services.
100%.
That's interesting.
It's true. Like, especially maybe not money, but like, you know, they may take like as an offering, like maybe you cook them food, like simple things that aren't monetary value. You know, it's like more of a trade, because like that is how, you know, things used to go in the past. You know, they would use divination techniques by way of trading, be it for food or anything like that. But the whole concept of using it for monetary gain, from what I've known, is frowned upon by some of the older generations, and some of the newer generations, such as
like
myself.
You.
we hold on to these ideas. But
That's interesting. I like that though.
Well, I mean, it's, you were given a gift that we see as Wiccans, specifically, we are against charging for that because our main goal, you know, is to help others, to spread love, to protect the planet and protect others. So, you know, using our gift in such a selfish manner is seen as, you know, as kind of like an abuse of a God-given power, for lack of a better term. And I use God loosely, because obviously, you know, Wiccans have a lot of different concepts of gods, and
we're
not trying to get, you know, too many people caught up on some terminology, but
like lack of better words.
Yeah. Key point in the sentence.
Okay, you said you learned this essentially from your mom.
Mm-hmm.
At least at first. Do you plan on passing this on to your kids? Or if they're interested, at least.
Funny story.
Ooh.
So Cortland has been getting a little agitated because
Cortland is his baby mama.
Yes. She's been getting a little agitated telling me that I've already corrupted Piper, who's my oldest. Because she walks around and she'll say that she's a witch like daddy or a witch like granny.
Aw, that's so cute though.
And it's like, and she'll grab a broom and she'll run around and say that she's a witch, and it's adorable. But you know, I think, and she already likes Halloween. She loves scary stuff. Like it's already shaping out to be perfect. but you know, here's the thing though. Like, I came from a family. My mom didn't practice much when I was growing up because, you know, it's kind of frowned upon where we live. We live in literally the Bible Belt of America. You know, paganism is severely frowned upon.
Yeah.
In a neighboring city, they put out a letter talking about how we were getting pagans around us were getting too open, and literally put a few names and addresses calling to
what?
To. Yeah, it was a real big deal.
That was like a modern day witch hunt.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Yeah, it was bad. But you know, it was taken care of quietly, you know, by the authorities and everything. But outside of that, you know, I was kind of like most people nowadays, you know, Christianity was kind of forced upon me by some of the older people in my family, and you know, I was my mother's side of the family was Southern Baptist.
Oof.
And then the person that, you know, I refer to as my dad, who's my stepdad, his side of the family was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really weird mix. And it wasn't until, you know, I got a little older, probably about 12 or 13, that I started doing a lot of research into multiple religions, and I came to the agreement with the mother of my children that we were going to, you know, give them information as they pleased and let them make the decision as to what they want to believe in.
That's good. good parenting.
That's so cute.
Well, I mean, because, you know, if they find something in, you know, Buddhism, Islam, or Hinduism, or they want to follow the Wiccan path, or if they want to be a Christian like their mother, that's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you know, we're going to give them the options and let them choose for themselves because, you know, they are people and they have that ability to, you know, choose what they want for themselves.
Would you still teach them, like, your practices, or, like, from you or the baby mama? Like, you would still teach them how, like, what you believe, even if you're not forcing it on them, if that makes sense.
Maybe. Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they kind of already know that I don't practice commercial holidays that are based in, you know, Christianity and things. And I actually got to you know, spend some time with Piper on Beltane. Which we also know what Beltane was, but that's beside the point. Different conversation.
okay.
But you know,
I feel like I've missed a vital part of this conversation.
I don't know what that is.
Beltane's fertility day.
Oh,
happy fertility day.
I thought so. I was just like, I think we're on the right track, but
yeah. So we had, you know, I got her for a couple hours just because, you know, I wanted to do some things with her. And, you know, obviously we knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, but we planted, you know, some seeds out in the woods. She planted a rock. I just let her do what she wanted to do.
She planted a rock.
Yeah, you know, maybe it'll grow more rocks. I don't know. But you know, we attempted to, you know, get back to the earth, and that was, you know, something that, you know, she doesn't quite understand now, but, you know, as it'll get, you know, repeated throughout her life, you know, she's going to be openly introduced to, you know, traditions from, you know, both sides of family, and, you know, she you know, migrates towards one, that's fine. If she doesn't, you know, she can do what she wants. But, you know, they will be at least exposed without any pressure.
That's good. Honestly, I know a lot of people, like, at least our generation, have been forced into religions that they don't really actually believe in.
100%.
Oh, definitely. Like, even now, families are still pressuring that onto people.
Yeah,
at least my family is anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a, from what I've seen, obviously I don't see everything, but, like, I think it's a little more common for parents, like millennial parents, to be a little more open with sharing information with their kids rather than just, like, forcing to do things without making it make sense. Again, not everyone.
Right.
But I just see it more often with millennial kids than older generations. Parents than older generations.
You guys do understand that all three of us are technically part of Gen Z, right?
We're the cusp.
Yeah.
Princess is Gen Z.
Princess is definitely Gen Z, yes.
Yeah.
Yay! 100%. I don't know what that means. We're like, I see this, but, like, I don't really pay attention to it. But yay! I'm a part of something.
Yes, you are.
Good job, princess. But no, yeah. You and I are cuspers. People like to call them millennials. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know about honestly, all that.
I'm just so used to being the middle child in all of these groupings, I guess. Like
middle child syndrome.
Like even in New Jersey, I'm the middle child. Because I'm in Central Jersey. Anyway, continue.
Like, that's that reminds me of, you know, the last episode, you know, the whole sibling. What was it? Sibling,
the sibling disparity.
Disparity, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
That was
the best in the world. He gets middle child and oldest child. Like, do you have siblings?
You've got a brother, right? Brother?
I have a brother and two. Okay. So we're gonna bounce a little bit back to the previous episode. You know how we Mint said, and I quote, and I paraphrase, we love complicated families.
Yes.
Oh yes, we love it. So I have a younger brother who is 14 months younger than I am. We are half brothers. We share the same mom.
Okay.
I have a younger sister who is 16, who I only met when she was born. She is my half sister. We share the same biological father. Okay. Now, my little sister, who is turning 11.
Okay.
In like a few days.
Ooh, happy early birthday to her.
her and I actually have no blood relation.
Oh, so step
marriage?
Well, my stepdad, you know, the one that I refer to as my dad, you know, the one that raised me and everything.
Yeah.
He had her with one of his previous fiancés, I suppose would be the best term. Kind of? I don't know.
Like, but, like, you've grown up with her, right?
Yeah. Like, she was born, and she's turning 11 this year. Yikes. I don't know. I was, like, 12 or 13 when she was born.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
Ooh.
I don't know. But, yeah, that's a lot. But I'm the oldest.
Damn. How did that feel like? growing up.
What's it feel like being the guinea pig?
Oh no, listen, that's not even a joke. Like, that's real.
Yeah,
that's
no, real. Definitely not.
No, it was really touch and go. It was really touch and go. You know, there were a lot of difficulties. There were a lot of issues. You know, I don't want to say that, you know, I was completely free of blame, but it did, you know, end up putting me in a position to make certain decisions that drastically ended up influencing my life, which I do think was going to be a topic on here.
Yeah. Which decisions are we talking about here?
No, coming from me, that's actually... Yeah, okay. So, yeah, coming from me, that's actually a very good question to ask, because I have had a lot of decisions that are probably not great. But specifically this one, I am talking about the ones that led me to being a drug addict and alcoholic.
Do you remember the first time you tried any hard drugs? Or, like, the reasonings for why?
I want your definition of a hard drug.
Okay. Essentially, not like weed, not alcohol, not like shrooms, I guess. I don't know.
Straight, like, substance, like,
yeah.
Cocaine and meth and shit like that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I did Adderall in college to do papers, but, like, I don't know if you'd consider that, but, you know, if we're talking, like, actual, like, street drugs.
Yeah. I guess we could include alcohol in this, because people do get addicted to alcohol.
Yeah. quite frankly, I didn't touch alcohol for the first time until I was 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was late. you know, the first drug I ever actually did was Adderall. I didn't touch weed until after I turned 18.
Okay.
But my first experience with, like, you know, a harder drug in those definitions, was cocaine. Mm-hmm. Basically, I had literally just gotten out of one of the longest relationship I'd ever had at the time. We were together a month or two shy of 5 years.
Oh. How old were you?
Let's see, this was 20, 16, 18 or 19, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Was this the relationship before your baby mama? It wasn't?
No.
It was even before that?
Yeah.
Whoa.
This was like my first. I have a very, very strong, I don't know what it is. I have this real thing with, like, long-term relationships. Like, I don't know. they're very prominent in my past.
Okay.
Like, if you're in a relationship with me, you're guaranteed to be there probably at least a year. But, you know, it's just how it's turned out. You know, gonna knock on wood, hope it doesn't change. Cause, like, you know, it's better for the soul that way.
Also knocked on some wood.
But, you know, we had just broken up, and I was, like, feeling a type of way, and I was hanging out at some of my dude's house, and we were smoking and stuff, and he just happens to go, "Hey, would you want to go half on a gram of cocaine?" I was like, "How much?" And, you know, he told me. I was like, "Fuck it, let's run it." I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to say bad words. I can.
Yeah.
Can say bad words. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, you know, it's whatever. So then, you know, it just happened that way. You know, it was just, I wanted something else to do, because, you know, it was still, the weed didn't, you know, take away the feeling, and I'm not gonna lie, the cocaine didn't either. But, you know, it's pretty hot, you know. But no, like, you know, that's really just a glorifying drug use. But
yeah,
no, you know, I ultimately, like, you know, I made those choices myself. You know, there were factors that led me to choosing to make those decisions. But, you know, overall, you know, it's just.
When did you realize that you were addicted and that this was an issue?
You Oh, that's a good question. I would say, so in 2018, mm-hmm. I was on misdemeanor probation, and someone had ratted me out for using acid, so I'd pass my drug tests and still get high. I got put in a diversion program called drug, huh?
That's a thing?
Yeah. Shrooms don't show up on a drug test, and acid you have to specifically test for. Tests are usually really expensive. An average even 14 panel drug test won't test for LSD. So I got put on this thing that we called drug court. You know, it was a recovery based thing. And, you know, at first, you know, I was all about it because I was like, you know, sounds like a good kind of idea. Cause you know, at this point, you know, Cortland was pregnant with Piper and I was not doing too hot. Like I was doing acid and shrooms probably like 3 times a week. Mm. That was just not healthy. I'm lucky my brain's mostly okay.
We're glad it is.
Mostly.
Yeah. So, you know, I graduated that on my birthday, actually. My 21st Ooh. Birthday is when I graduated.
Yay.
And I was like, literally left the graduation and was like, you know, this is great. This is awesome. You know, I'm going to do, you know, had a complete thought process of, you know, doing better for myself, doing better for my family. And I shit you not, no more than 10 minutes after Cortland and I went home, someone hit me up and was like, hey, you want to smoke? I said, bet. I was like, whatever. It's just weed. Cause you know, I had that mentality of, you know, yeah. weed's not a drug. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's just weed, you know, like that's kind of why I asked about your definition of hard drugs because, yeah. you know, in my perspective, you know, all drugs are hard drugs.
That's fair.
Well, you know, I say that lightly, you know, cause caffeine's a drug and I don't see that as a hard drug, but that's a technicality.
Okay.
But, you know, it wasn't even then that I realized that I was addicted. You know, the issue really came when I picked the acid back up and I started selling it. And then I had some issues happen and I fucked around and got addicted to meth and was, you know, mixing meth and acid every, I couldn't do one without the other.
Whoa.
And then, it was a real bad time. And then I realized, you know, this is probably bad. I should probably stop. So, you know, I did what a lot of us do. I stopped the acid and I stopped the meth for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up alcohol.
Ooh.
And
I got
into Xanax and sedatives, and then I was doing, you know, when I couldn't, you know, stand all the downers because I was, you know, drunk all the time and buzzed off the Xanax, you know, couldn't do anything. So I picked the meth back up to kind of even it out so I could, you know, focus to go to work and all this kind of stuff. And it was a big mess downhill from there. But at that point in time, I had, as much as I wanted to stop, I had lost the option to. My body had gotten so accustomed to it that my body literally could not survive without it.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably at that point, whenever, you know, the point when I picked the meth back up was when I realized that I actually had a problem that I was addicted. And that still went on for like another, I don't know, 8 to 9 months before anything else happened.
So did you decide yourself to live in the sober living house, or did that, like, did other people decide that for you when you decided?
Well, that was decided for me. That was being decided for me. No, I'll be honest. Like, you know, when I first, you know, I'm part of this sober living facility as part of a rehab where I went through a residential program with, and, you know, quite frankly, I'm not even going to lie about it. Like I've told everybody here, already knows, the people that put me here already know. I completely 100% came here with the whole concept of, I'm just going to fly through this and I'm going to go back to getting high. You know, but it wasn't until I sat here long enough and heard enough people talk and actually kind of started to pay attention, because, you know, fake it till you make it only goes so far until you start putting into practice what you're faking, and then start to have a little mindset change, start paying attention. And, you know, I realized, like, oh, maybe I do have a lot of issues that I need to work on and think about, you know. And then I started putting a little bit of work in on myself and you know, started to enrich my spiritual life. I got back into practicing, which I had stopped. I actually stopped practicing all my witchcraft and stuff once I picked up meth, because it was just there was no that did not work. That was never going to work.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I was way too detached from reality. Meth psychosis is real.
I can imagine, maybe.
Mm-hmm. You get the same effect as if you you forced yourself to stay awake for like 6 or 7 days straight. Basically, sleep deprivation psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's just easier to do on, you know, speed.
Oh,
but yeah, it's just. But you know, after a while, I kind of realized, you know, exactly what I was doing to myself and the people around me, and I realized that, you know, at first my reasoning was skewed. You know, I was like, okay, well, I need to do this so I can, you know, do better for my girls. You know,
yeah.
At the point in time, mm-hmm. you know, I was still with their mother, and I was like, well, you know, mate, I got to do better so, you know, she can have someone. It wasn't until I made the realization that if I'm not doing it for me, I'm going to fail 100% of the time, that yeah. I started doing it for the right reasons. And I did it because I want to be a better person, and I want to be able to, you know, actually be someone who can help others and be of use to others in more mm-hmm. ways than one. So that was, and that kind of led me to where I am today, I guess.
Mm.
We are glad that you are here.
We are glad.
At this point,
because you brought up like your girls, like how much did it affect your relationship with them? Like, were you around? Were you not around? Were you aware of what you were doing around the kids, or were you like, ugh, that sounds bad?
Oh no, listen. No,
I think that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And the problem is like what a lot of people get wrong, or at least, you know, assume wrong. Like, drug addicts do get a bad rep. And yes, you know, a lot of the things we do are really fucked up. Like, not gonna lie about it. Like, there's no sugarcoating that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's it's hard to explain the mindset behind it, because, you know, it's basically the whole concept of, you know, it, the best way to explain it is, you know, the basic, you know, textbook definition of insanity that, you know, we like to use here in the rooms. And it's, you know, either doing the same thing and expecting the different result, or doing the same thing and knowing the result, but expecting it to change. You know, it's just, you know, there's actually a story. I don't have my book with me. Shit. Anyways, there's a story that, you know, it describes it well, saying, you know, there's a jaywalker, a guy who's addicted to jaywalking. You know, he'll just mm-hmm. walk across the street for the thrill. Eventually, you know, a car hits him. You know, he breaks his leg, and he's like, well, I'll never jaywalk again. Then, you know, once he gets healed up, you know, he goes out and he does it again and breaks both his legs. He's like, I'm never going to do this again. You know, and it keeps going on, and he keeps doing it until, you know, he gets to the point where, you know, he breaks both of his arms and both of his legs, and he can't walk. He can't hold a job. His wife leaves him. You know, he makes that firm resolution, says, I'm never going to jaywalk again. Goes to, you know, a place like, you know, a rehab as part of the book. You know, it says an asylum, you know, kind of a mental asylum, psych ward, whatever you want to call it for modern day. And, you know, he is completely, as you know, as everyone can see, is completely rehabilitated. He walks out of the psych ward or whatever, and, you know, he immediately goes straight for the street and starts jaywalking. A fire truck hits him and breaks his back. You know, such a man would be insane, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like exactly like how, you know, drug addiction works, you know, because you know exactly what you're doing every time you go to get high or to use or to buy or anything like that. You know all the risks you're taking. It's just nothing else matters but getting the result that you want. So, you know, in regards to the girls, I was still, thankfully, I have been sober for the entire time that Genevieve's been alive, and then some. Now with Piper, you know, I didn't get sober until after her first birthday. And, you know, there are still a lot of things that I still have to actively work on forgiving myself for. Because, you know, in the eyes of a normal person, you know, a lot of the things that I was doing were just straight up not okay. And I realized that. But, you know, my motives were skewed because my thought process was strictly on, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, I got what my brain was telling me I needed, and that was the drug. So, you know, there'd been a lot of times when, you know, their mom would have someone sit at the house with me to help watch Piper because she knew that I'd be high, you know, and it's just like there were just certain things that I just know I couldn't do. And, you know, and it's heartbreaking to look back at, but, you know, in the time, like, I didn't see anything wrong with it because, you know, the consequences or the actions even, you know, didn't matter because, you know, the whole concept of using, we use it to not feel shit. So, you know, the whole fact of I didn't have a concept of guilt. I didn't have a concept of shame. I didn't have a concept of remorse. That was just all gone. But I also didn't have a concept of anger. I didn't have a concept of love. I didn't have a concept of anything really. You know, I was there for a lot of things for her, but I wasn't, you know, there. Physically, I was there. Emotionally, mentally, I was elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, those are things that I'm never going to be able to get back. But, you know, I'm doing this now so that in the future I'll be able to be there for a lot of things. And, you know, Genevieve just recently started walking.
Yay!
She's not doing too great at it. The other day she took the most amount of steps that she has to date. This was like last week. It was only three, but she walked from Cortland to me and took three steps, and it was, you know, adorable. You know, I was able to be there, and I was able to feel all the emotions associated with that for the first time. You know, I was able to appreciate it for the first time. I can sit and play with Piper, and, you know, I can talk with her, and, you know, she still doesn't quite make full sentences generally, but, you know, she talks back, and, you know, it's just, I can rebuild a new relationship with her because she was still too young to realize what everything was that was going on. So, you know, I'm very grateful to have that opportunity because I know a lot of guys here that are at my house that don't have that opportunity because, you know, their kids were a lot older. So, you know, it's just, so like they have a lot more work to do, and, you know, I was blessed with the ability that, you know, I might not have to work as hard on that aspect, but I still have to work hard to, you know, make sure that I'm continuing to do everything that I need to do to keep myself in line. You know, we use an analogy too. If say you're in an airplane with your family and the plane starts going down, the oxygen mask come down, your first goal needs to be to put the oxygen mask on yourself first, because if you're not okay, you can't help your family. You know, it's just,
I've heard that line so many times.
Yeah. It's because, you know, it's
they tell you that every time you go on a plane.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I am in
I've never been on a plane.
Oh.
What? I'm sorry.
But it's like, it's so, I don't know, it's like wholesome to hear.
Yeah. Like, I'm really happy for you, for where you are right now.
I'm very proud.
Yeah.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. you know, it definitely you know, is mainly because, you know, I've accepted, you know, everything for what it was, and, you know, realized that on my own self-will, you know, my best thinking got me here. So,
yeah,
you know, I have to rely on something bigger than myself, which is why I got back into, you know, my practices, you know, because I have deities and things that, you know, I can look to for guidance. And, you know, in reality, like, you know, it's as long as you're living by some spiritual principles, you know, it'll get you through anything. And that's not even, you know, true for addicts and alcoholics. You know, anybody can benefit from living by spiritual principles. You know, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are, you know, key for life in general. You know, so.
Yeah. But, like, also, even though you may have missed some of her first, there's still so many more that are going to happen for Piper.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, bro, I'm ready for, oh God. The other day, I was trying to help Cortland change this fuse in her car. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord. And Piper Piper was sitting there in the driver's seat because the car was stopped and off, and she was just sitting there in the driver's seat just watching Pink mm-hmm. Fong, which is like the creator. I don't know. Like, that's the brand for like Baby Shark or something.
Okay.
And I was, you know, fiddling with it, and I like cut myself, like cut my finger on a piece of her car. I just went, oh shit. And Piper went, oh shit.
Oh.
I just stopped and I stared at her. That was the quickest. That was the quickest parrot she'd ever done.
She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, and I looked up at her mother, and she was just laughing. And I'm just like, "Are we allowed to laugh at that?" And then Piper started laughing, and I'm like, "You know what? Yeah, good job, kid. Proud of you."
We're laughing. We're laughing. Oh.
But you know, they say people that curse more and more in tune with their feelings.
So. I also know they're smarter, but I don't know if that one's true.
I mean, it's just that they say thing.
Yeah.
There's actual stats for these things.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but I do know that the fucking shit are like 86% of my vocabulary.
Yeah, I'm right up there with that. But I feel like that's more New Zealand culture than just being up there with emotions and being smart and shit.
That's fair. I feel like I used to curse more when I was younger. I still do it, but not as often.
I think I do cuss less now, but I still cuss a lot. So that speaks to the character.
Yeah. I mean, you curse for a valid reason. Yourself.
At that point, yeah, I did. But I just mean in general conversation. Like, I don't need to be saying fuck that many times in the same sentence.
Mm.
But, you know, just add a little spice.
So, yeah. Sometimes it's just like a habit to say it, though.
Just make it zesty.
Add some seasoning.
Not just salt and pepper.
Bro, fuck salt and pepper, bro.
Absolutely. Okay, salt and pepper is okay on some things, but there's nothing wrong with spice.
You need salt and pepper and then some, okay? You can't just not have salt.
Listen, I had to teach someone the other day. I don't know about that. I could usually go without salt, but like the thing is, I had to teach someone the other day that if you use salt while you're cooking, it has a different flavor than if you add salt afterwards.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
They didn't know this. I was like, you've never lived. Like just adding salt on stuff, like if it's on fries, now listen, I want some extra salt on my fries. It's mm-hmm. just facts.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
But you know, if I'm using salt in actual cooking, I'm going to be using it while I'm cooking because the flavor of cooked salt versus added salt is just phenomenal.
Yes. Mm. You're not wrong.
Oh, damn. Food.
Are you hungry, princess?
I shouldn't be. I just ate granola. And I've been sipping on my apple juice this whole time, but
I would still be hungry after a granola.
I didn't get my bagel.
Exactly.
I'm sad about that.
I made this dish before we went out of the house earlier. And it was like, I guess it's, I don't know. It's kind of like this. I guess it's kind of like a casserole thing. I'm not sure. Okay. I cooked some brown rice and I put it in the bottom of a glass baking dish. I made some mashed potatoes. Love mashed potatoes. Put it over top of the rice. Then I put in a mix of corn, peas, black beans, and green beans mm-hmm. over top of that. That was a lot. And then I put some fish over top of that and threw on like an Alfredo Cajun sriracha mixture bullshit sauce.
Yum.
And baked it. I have yet to try it, but everyone else in the house has already eaten some and they say it's bombastic.
Oh, you should have eaten some before getting on call.
So you could tell us about it.
Yeah.
Well, I was excited for this though. Like, I was hyped. I listened to the previous episode while I was sitting at work. Like I went out to my car, got some headphones and plugged them in and had one headphone inside my ear and you know, I was talking to customers and doing what I needed to do. But I was just letting it play while I was at work for the last hour. I was listening
to us go on and off topic. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious. It's hilarious. Love it.
This is actually my fourth episode that we recorded.
Wait, who else did you have one with?
I mean, I did one by myself, and then I did one with Jem. And
well done, nice save.
Who?
Now with Pet.
Who? A Jem.
With Jem.
I'll tell you who she is later.
Okay. Wait, is she from our server?
She's not active in it. She's an IRL friend. I think she's played with skills more than with us.
I think she's gone into one game with just us without skills.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Canadians there.
We love the Canadians.
We love Canadians. We love them.
I'm gonna try to get them all on a call one day, and I'll just be silent and just let them talk like we do. Oh, anyways.
Listen, there was, I don't remember the dude's name or even his internet name.
Uh-huh.
But the one that kept calling me a wizard because he didn't know me yet. when we were playing Gactic, or what was that
game? Yeah, Gothic Cone.
Yeah, that was completely something else. Like he was a hoot. He was a hoot.
I know
I
who
like
you're
where
talking
his head
about,
went.
But I don't
I loved where his head went. You know what? I added him. I might find it real quick.
Oh, it's Wynn. It's Wynn. It's Wynn.
Okay.
It is.
I thought so.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Wynn.
I love it. He's a cool dude. I like him. He's funny as hell.
Vampire wizard. That's the first thing that came up. Vampire wizard.
I was like,
no, someone else is a vampire. I should change your role. I'm going to do that later.
My role?
Are you going to call him a wizard?
Call him a witch. Fucking witch.
I mean, yeah, Harold. my hey, little
Hagrid.
Not
Harold.
Hagrid.
Fucking Potter. That works.
I don't know what it is. My little thing on Discord that is like your, what's it called?
Role?
I'm gonna find it. No, it's like,
I think his role right now is like fucking hoe.
Like the little words underneath of your thing. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, you're like your bios?
Kind of. The one that, like, if you click on someone, it'll pop up. Like, if you go on ours right now where it says serial.
Oh, like a status?
It says, yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Mine says, turns out I am a witch. I don't know.
I always have mine as invisible or offline, so like no one ever sees it, but mine is gotta be smart to make up for the dumb.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Princess, do you have one?
No. Why have I got cuffed on my rolls? What?
Oh,
I remember
that. You not remember that?
No.
You had to make yourself cuffed with Dorky.
Yeah,
Oh,
and I think no one just realized because your role name never changed or color didn't change.
I'm gonna change that right now.
Okay,
change that right now. Like, I do not need that.
Oh no, guys.
I forgot about the breakup.
I just got a text from Ref. Because I had forgot that we were in the middle of playing an iMessage game, and I looked at it and never played back.
What did she say? Was she just calling you out for not responding?
Yeah, she just said, .. You read it.
I think you should try to convince her to join this call or join a episode join of this podcast.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to be alone.
I can bully her in the podcast.
Yeah, let's
like
bully
I did.
Will that work?
She'll hang up
real
quick.
Having a computer.
Nah, it'll still work. Just need to
It should work on her iPad. I feel. It. Yeah. It's just we can't do it too late.
Right. This would have to be like an earlier episode.
Yeah. It's okay. The audience doesn't need to know it was recorded during the daytime. It's fine. Everything's fine. Or we'll just make sure it's nighttime for Princess.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
Love it.
I just realized that I said that I bullied her, but it's fine. I bully her with love. So nobody tells me.
Yeah, with love.
Yeah.
With love.
We do it with love, okay?
We do it with love.
It's funny because there's literally the three of us.
Yeah. I don't know. In reality, sometimes her and I just bully each other just to bully each other.
Okay, but she bullies you back. She never bullies us back.
No.
Or she tries and it never works.
Crybaby.
I got her earlier today with those Reddit 50-50s.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah, I had, yeah. It was good. I had some good ones on there. I love Reddit. Reddit is fantastic.
I never actually used Reddit.
No, I didn't really go on there either, especially with skills in them telling me, like, yeah, it's a bad place. And I'm like, cool, because the stuff that comes out of your guys' mouth,
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're in the wrong, 4chan is much worse. 4chan is much worse.
Yes, I think I've heard we from, don't, like, Cannibal.
Yeah, we don't like 4chan.
I go look
But no, Reddit, if you know what you're doing on Reddit, you know, you're not going to have a lot of issues. I definitely would not recommend, you know, being on the homepage very often.
Now I kind of want to open Reddit and just see.
Well, right now there's not a lot. There's this one says Bernie Sanders compares Republican tactics to China's growing authoritarianism. Israel opposition parties reach agreement to oust Prime Minister Benjamin. I don't want to butcher that name. So Minister Ben, about serving more than 12 years in office. Naomi Osaka fined $15,000 by tennis officials after refusing press for sake of mental health. That's fucked up. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like a lot of, this one's not too bad.
Do you have any LIT worthy news from Reddit? Does Reddit work like that? Do you get good news from Reddit?
You can get good news from Reddit. Hold on. Let's see what's going on. Let me see. Hold on. Let's see. What do we want? Let's do science. What's going on with science? Ah, this is funny. All right. So according to subreddit rScience, ban on flavored vaping may have led teens back to cigarettes, study suggests. After the ban's implementation, high school students' odds of smoking conventional cigarettes doubled in San Francisco school district relative to trends in districts without the ban. So, quite frankly, listen, here's the thing. I smoke cigarettes probably since I was like 17.
Mm-hmm.
I have not smoked a cigarette in about 4.5-5 months. And I am almost to the point where I'm about to kick the vaping habit. So I do not agree with the ban on vaping, because if done correctly, it is a healthier alternative. Quite frankly, the ones that are trying to get the vapes and things banned are the cigarette companies.
Yeah.
And that's not an assumption. That is facts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're pushing for that. But no, even after just switching, you know, from cigarettes to vaping, you know, I can breathe better, I can taste better, I can smell better. Like, you know, it's just relieving all those other toxins. And people like to say that, you know, vaping is water vapor. That's false. Quite literally, I have a bottle of vape juice right in front of me. And the ingredients are, just a second, propylene glycol and vegetable glycerin. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm not a big fan of vaping or smoking. But, like, both my parents smoke. And my younger sister has gotten into smoking and vaping. But I'd much rather her start vaping.
Yeah.
And have a vape. Because, like, I used to have a vape, but I lost it somewhere. And then I'd rather her vape than be smoking. Because, like, that is just, it's shocking the amount that she can't smoke.
I think the only issue with, like, vaping is that they have all these, like, cool flavors, which gets all these younger kids hooked onto them.
It's a serious problem.
Yeah.
Well, listen, have you ever tasted tobacco flavored vape juice?
I don't vape.
I'd rather smoke a cigarette.
Never tried it. I've tried all the fruity ones. Do not get a cream one if you're gonna try it. Don't get the cream.
I've tried like this lychee one. That one was good. That's it.
Well, I also use real vapes. Like, most of the problem with teens right now is like Juul pods and puff bars and stuff like that. I use a real vape and real vape juice. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's a little different. But no, as far as those, the disposable vapes go, I do think that those do need to be regulated. And recently in my, wasn't it a countrywide thing that they upped the smoking age to 21?
Oh, is that?
Was that a countrywide thing?
It's always been 21 in Jersey, so I'm not quite sure.
Oh, no, here it was 18. It was wild.
Yeah.
My baby mama was so mad because they upped and she's 21 now, but now she can't smoke because, like, that'd be very counterproductive given her current situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, it was funny. It was hilarious, you know.
I don't know if it's a problem for you guys, but, like, do you guys have, like, little 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds running around with vapes?
Yes.
Over there, or is that...
Oh, all the time.
Yes.
So is a problem over there too? Like, it's so bad here.
And, like, the thing is, it's like, I can't really say too much, if I'm being honest, because, like, I was one of those kids. But, like, you know, it's for some reason, it's been a lot more accessible. And I guess it's always been accessible because, like, you know, you hear people talking about, like, you know, they grew up in the 80s and stuff, and, like, kids were openly smoking. Like, you could buy people in the 80s, their kids could buy a pack of cigarettes and they nobody question it. So, like, it's not that it's just now being a problem. It's just now, you know, the Gen Z and everyone's getting more ballsy about it. And they're.
I think it's also that vapes are a little bit more discreet. Than a pack of cigarettes. Like, smoking a cigarette, you have to go, like, typically I'm assuming you'd have to go outside to smoke it, especially if you don't want your parents to find out. I think you could just be chilling in your room.
Well, back in the 80s in America, like, probably, like, you know, 80 some percent of households smoke, so I'm pretty sure you could get away with smoking inside because chances are your parents also smoked if you were smoking.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, now if you've got a proper vape, you can just turn it down so that there's not as much smoke when you blow it out.
Yeah.
Facts. That's how I get away with vaping during work. But, no, for real. Like, I think the main issue. Oh, it is. I'm not saying it. I do think it is a healthy alternative, but I do believe that it should only be used if the whole concept is to wane off and quit nicotine. Because, you know, that's what I'm doing. Because, like, you know, I am a drug addict and alcoholic, you know. It's very, very addicted to nicotine. So far, the hardest thing I've ever had to try to stop using. And, you know, I'm kicking it pretty well, but, like, you know, it's just this. I think that it should only be used as a stepping stool, personally. Yeah.
Not to change the topic, but I've been scrolling through Reddit, and I found a Twitter screenshot that I think is funny. Vibrator died in the middle of using it, so now I have to use my fingers like a cavewoman. I'm so mad. I don't even want to nut anymore tonight. I gave up, by the way. I'm not playing no acoustic pussy.
Welcome to Reddit. I hope you stay. Listen, hey, do you want to hop back to the original topic of this here thing and let me show you about a weird side of Reddit?
Okay, yes.
You ever heard of Rule 34?
Yes.
You have?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Rule 34 of the internet. If it exists, there is porn of it.
Mm-hmm.
This stems from the subreddit r/rule34.
Minnie, we've talked about this with Skills and Win.
We did. We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. They did bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
It might not make you, it might not let you on it if you don't have an account.
I'm not making an account.
That's perfectly fine. But yeah, it's a. It's very interesting. There's a lot of stuff on there. Hold on. So, like, I've recently been getting into some of the kink community of Reddit. It's hit and miss, really. Mm-hmm. I haven't quite found a lot of the proper things, because right now, you know, there's just a lot of fake people on there, but there's a lot of real people as well, but. You know, it really just depends on what you're looking for and stuff, but it just depends on what you're looking for, I guess. It's very hard to sort through stuff on Reddit, in all honesty.
Yeah. Like,
mostly what I use Reddit for, my main subreddits. Hold on, let me pull this up. I'll just reach out my list.
Okay.
So on here, I have the Astral Army, which is an astral projection subreddit. I have, you know, my creepypastas, like my dream interpretation. My magic, occult, pagan, witchcraft, stuff like that. And then I have a shamanism. And then I have, you know, some scary story stuff. And I have tarot and ESP and my Wicca subreddit, which I really like. But there are a lot of awful people up in the subreddit sometimes.
Okay, because you brought up the R34,
yes.
What in the world have they done to Lola Bunny?
If it exists, there's porn.
I don't want to know.
No, I'm not meaning the porn.
They
got rid of her boobs. They got rid of her ass, and I'm like, what?
They wanted to desexualize her as a character.
Because the main thing, right? But the main thing was is like when that first movie was come out, they said that it was a sexist thing that they were over sexualizing her something along those lines.
I mean, it was meant for like kids.
But she looked great. This is from my little kid opinion.
But like, it's also like setting unrealistic standards for yourself, especially as a kid.
Facts.
That was the issue.
You're never going to be a sexy bunny. You're a human. That's what you meant, right?
Yes. Totally.
Yeah. Listen, they do make some tales. And they make some... Listen, bro, now we're getting back into the kink community, man.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of things in my day.
Also, random question. Sort of random question. You mentioned tarot and that you can read tarot. Is it possible to do that for people that you're not physically next to?
Yeah.
Can you read ours?
Maybe right at now? Some other point.
It doesn't have to be right now. It's up to you. Just like at some point.
I mean, yeah. I've read rest.
I am down for that.
Yes, yes. We will do this one day.
Yeah, 100%. That's not a problem.
Yay!
Me too. I don't know. I've always been intrigued with that kind of stuff, but I've never been ballsy enough to do it. Plus, around here, it's like $60 for a reading. So I'm like, no.
My friend, like freshman year of college, she had tarot cards. She said she learned from like her mom how to read them. So she tried to read them for us, but like she didn't actually know what she was doing. She ended up having to Google everything.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with not knowing what everything means. Like, they make tarot guidebooks for a reason. And even experienced, like, you know, practitioners that use tarot cards will sometimes use the guidebooks.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, it depends on what tarot deck you're using. My tarot deck's a little different than most. Generally speaking, there is a lot of decks that use the Rider-Waite imagery. I can't remember the name of the person who has drew those up, but a lot of tarot is, you know, looking at the imagery as well as the meanings behind the cards. That's the beauty of like having multiple tarot decks. Like, there's multiple different tarot decks, there's oracle decks, there's moon decks, you know, there's a lot. I currently do only have a standard tarot deck, which, you know, has the major and minor arcana and all that, but you know, I would like to get into learning to read oracle cards.
That would be cool.
And you could experiment on us too. That sounded weird.
No, you're right. You can use us as guinea pigs.
That's the right word. Practice.
You can use us as guinea pigs.
Yes.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I'm pretty sure that we have already had the conversation in that you and I would not mesh well in an air quote experimental situation.
Correct.
And that's correct. Okay. That's okay. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if I do get an oracle deck, I'd be more than happy to give it a shot. One thing about tarot is a lot of people say not to practice on yourself. but that's kind of stupid. Because you're not supposed to use the deck until you've more or less resonated with it. So you know, practicing on yourself is good practice. Just in case anybody wants to try it.
Yeah, no, that tarot reading has always been interesting. Like, I like to think I'm in tune with like my emotions in that and like other people's emotions, but that type of reading, those are cool to me. Like, even if they're not my own readings, like, those are cool to me.
Listen, every time I read Ref's cards, do you know what she does? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't sound like me at all. And the problem is, I know better. I've been no better. I do know better. She literally, it calls her out every time. And she's just sitting me with that same grin, like, I don't know why that doesn't sound right at all.
That
sounds like her.
Yeah.
100% it sounds like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. She'll be fine. She just didn't like the truth. That's all. That's the thing. That's another thing about tarot. You know, the thing is the cards never lie, but the interpretation may be off. So that is something that you know is supposed to be, I guess, given out as kind of like a warning. You know, there is a possibility the interpretation may not be correct, or even, you know, exact, but the cards are never wrong.
Interesting. Have you ever come across those like TikTokers that are like, I did this tarot reading, and if it's on your For You page, then it was meant for you?
Yeah. That's my problem, I think, all the time.
I'm like, yeah, totally, it's meant for me. Like the 1.4 million likes that you got on this video.
I stop, watch it, and if it's good, then I'm like, cool, yay, this is gonna happen to me. But if it's bad, I'm like, nah, I don't want that.
I do that. I do that same shit with astrology. If I like what I read, I'm like, yeah, that's totally me. And if I don't, it's like, it's not real. This doesn't make sense.
Like, the problem is like those TikToks, you know, those are actually like very raw and very real ways to use tarot, because that is kind of the concept. Like, you know, the TikTok algorithm does throw out some because that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's all based on, I don't believe in coincidences. You know, I've learned through very much trial and error that I cannot believe in anything as a coincidence.
Okay.
So, and you know, working in the you know, faith base and the practices that I do, you know, I believe in, you know, the concept of, you know, the universe talking to you. You know, quite frankly, yes, you know, they do put those out, you know, they do get substantial views, but you know, generally speaking, there's you know, some weight behind it, because you know, if you are meant to hear something, you know, the universe will make sure that you hear it in some way, shape, or form.
That is
so, you know, at least I would at least, you know, not shy away from them too quick. Now, as far as the astrology, I don't know about all that, because like, you know, astrology,
because I just want to know what they're saying.
Right. And, you know, that's the thing is like, you know, that comes back to the thing of, you know, the cards are never wrong, but the interpretation may be off.
Because,
you know, a lot of the people that are doing it on TikTok, at least that I've seen, are indeed baby witches.
I think my main issue with it is just that, like, most times when I see it, it's like about romances, and I'm like, me in a romance?
That's what people are looking for.
That's hilarious. Yeah, but like, I just don't see myself in one.
I know, I heard it as soon as I said that. Most of the time you're like, for me, that's hilarious. I'm just like, oh, there it is.
See, that's part of the thing, you know, is because, like, you know, sometimes, you know, there are some cards, man, that makes me want to go grab my tarot deck. you know, that there are some things that are, you know, misinterpreted, because yes, some cards can stand for romance, but you know, there are also different meanings behind the cards, and quite frankly, you know, romance doesn't necessarily mean with another person. You know, romance could be internal, you know, self-love. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, variations, and, you know, looking at it, you know, in a way that benefits or that could be read into your life, you would just need to know what card it was, which chances are the most of the time that I've seen that, they don't tell you what the card is. They just show you the picture and explain what it means, which is a little ridiculous.
Yeah. That is indeed what they do.
But, you know, that's how you would get the actual meaning, is you would need to know what the card is. And then, you know, you could read the basic, you know, overall, because how a book works when reading, you know, there's usually a set handbook that is with each deck. So my book, or my deck came with a book that is, you know, very detailed on how the cards were originally meant to be interpreted, with a little bit of extra information to, you know, give a little bit of leeway, along with, you know, the intuition that, you know, I get from, you know, the universe, whatever, anything like that, plus along with the images on the cards. And everyone is like that. You know, the Rider-Waite tarot deck has very, very extensive options as to what different, you know, situations for the card may hold. Because in reading tarot, you know, you have different spreads. You can ask yes or no questions. Chances are you're not going to get an answer that way. But you can have 3-card spread. There's a 4-card spread, 5-card, 8-card, 9-card. There's a bunch of different spreads. You know, there's, you know, you can be asking questions. You can ask about a general situation. You know, it's just there's so many questions that could be answered. So that specific tarot deck has a lot of, you know, substance to what its cards mean.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, those TikToks don't show you. You know, they give their specific interpretation of it. But, you know, there's so much more to those cards than just what they say. And that's where some people do get a little shaken off on it.
That makes sense. So also speaking of TikTok things, I don't know if this exactly falls under witchcraft or of this category at all, but what's your opinion on twin flames and like the soulmate drawings? Because I remember that being a thing like over a year ago on TikTok.
Yeah.
So the twin flame, that's actually something that's fairly new. So obviously, you know, soulmates, that's been a thing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And yes, it could mean, you know, romantic. It can mean platonic. You know, the original, you know, definition of soulmate, from what I have read in my readings and research, was literally, you know, we all come, hypothetically speaking, in certain beliefs, we all come from one general consciousness, that our souls were picked from, you know, the same entity and put into our own bodies. And some of them, you know, that they are all split. They come off as twos and they are split into two separate bodies. And that is where the concept of, you know, a soulmate comes from. Now, the idea of a twin flame that, you know, is fairly new, I'd say fairly new, you know, probably within the last like 15 years. You know, it generally means, it's not the same thing as a soulmate. So a twin flame is just someone who is basically like finding your mirror self, I guess. Not like a doppelganger, but like, you know, someone who has a very similar like personality, very similar taste in food, taste in music, basically, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, the soulmate is different from a twin flame in the fact that, you know, soulmates are not going to always have things in common. That's the thing, is, you know, you hear the thing that opposites attract, and that's very true in the concept of magic and in spiritual work. You know, quite frankly, you know, that's why, you know, I get a little, when we get into like any kind of topic of relationships, I do get a little antsy when people are like, well, we don't have anything in common. Like, you know, technically you don't
opposites attract
to. yeah
you don't have to. Like, that's the thing. It's like people who get into relationships with someone who's like, has all their interests and stuff. Like, you know, sometimes it works out, and I'm not saying it won't, because I've seen people that do that. I agree personally. That is my belief as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's pretty much the thing as far as, you know, the readings go regarding those. I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't have, because those are done with Oracle cards. Because those are.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's not, you know, that's something I said earlier that I'd like to learn how to use. But no, the soulmate readings and the twin flame readings were done by Oracle cards. So that's not something that I have a lot of knowledge
to do with cards at all, but I guess it also makes sense.
Well, I mean, it's just the same thing as, like, you know, though you'll see the those things and, like, it's just, I don't know how to explain it without seeing one, if I'm being honest.
That's fair. Also, what you were saying about soulmates, it reminds me of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but, like, the original one. I don't know if either of you ever watched that show.
I used to be obsessed with it. With the really, really crappy animation of the cat.
Yes.
It's like a puppet. Yeah.
But I think in one of the last episodes, she's at a wedding and she, like, is, like, really uncertain if she should get married to this dude. So her, like, aunt goes and finds, like, the soulmate stone things to see if, like, who she's going to marry is actually her soulmate, if they match or not. Or, like, fit, like, a puzzle.
I don't think I saw that episode. What was the answer?
I'm pretty sure it's like the last episode. She runs away with the person that was her soulmate.
I'll bet. We love that.
So, yeah.
That was about right. Mm-hmm. Just run away. It's fine. Okay, so maybe I've got this wrong. Well, what's the difference between tarot cards, normal tarot cards, and oracle cards?
So with oracle, well, tarot cards, there are
the Rider-Waite cards, rather, right?
Mm. Well, the Rider-Waite is just a form of tarot deck. It is classified as, you know, one of the most famous tarot decks, but, you know, tarot decks have a long history. Let me think. How do I explain this? So the tarot deck specifically, you know, they have the major arcana, which is, you know, your major cards, and then they have the minor arcana, which is made up of the it's 1 through 10 of your wands, swords, pentacles, and cups. Basically 4 suits. They kind of run like a deck of cards, you know. You have the numbers 1 through 10, then you have the, depends on what deck you're using. Mine has the son and daughter and the king and queen. Some will have the page, the knight. Mine have the son, daughter, mom, mother, and father. Some have the page, knight, king, and queen. But then, you know, you have the major arcana. But they're the four, basically the four suits. And, you know, that's based on that. And then there's the, you know, the major arcana, which have a lot of different meanings. Now, basically, tarot decks have 78 cards in them. Now, in regards to oracle cards, I'm not quite sure exactly how many cards are in an oracle deck. I do know that tarot cards are more precise, and oracle cards are used. They're usually meant to look for insight into a situation, but they can also be used similarly to tarot cards. It's basically just depending on how you want to practice with them. Now, some oracle decks, I think they don't have a lot less than a tarot deck. I think they might have, you know, somewhere between 60 and 70 as opposed to 78. Mm-hmm. But their layout's different.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not quite too keen on what oracle cards are. They're just slightly different.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I'm excited for you to learn it so you could read it.
I'll be more than happy to humor you with it once I'm there.
Yay. Okay, it has been like almost 2 hours, so I think we should end this call. Do any of you have LITs? I guess we kind of already talked about, sort of.
Kind of. It did kind of turn a little sour. If we're being honest.
Well, okay. We can count. Who started walking? Piper's been walking. Piper's
Genevieve.
Walking.
Yeah, okay. Genevieve.
Yeah,
walking.
I was going to say.
Okay. That'll be this week's LIT.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
We like it. We like it.
Thank you for joining the call, both of you. This was actually really fun. I learned a lot. The other times I was just inputting my, like, opinion. This was, like, just me taking in information.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I could help.
Nice chatting with you. Good night, and see you next week.
Bye.
I feel like I changed my voice.